Cobram Estate is the most awarded Australian extra virgin olive oil. Let it be the hero when entertaining family and friends. Cobram Estate extra virgin olive oil is fresh and full of flavour. Perfect for roasting, frying, baking, dressing salads and for dipping bread. Make your food taste even better with a little help from Cobram Estate. Premium quality, great tasting and a versatile healthy alternative. Buy in store at all major retailers.
G'day guys, Dill here. This should not come as a surprise to anyone given he's one of the biggest and best sports broadcasts in Australia, but Brian Taylor's podcast, Life of Brian, is absolutely flying at the moment. Recently he's had on James Brayshaw, Tony Jones, his nephew and Sydney midfielder James Rowbottom, and even horse teeth Tommy Sheridan. Life of Brian is not just about the guests, it also provides a great insight behind the scenes of the football media and BT's life away from the mic. He's a very, very quirky man. Who would have thought picking up sticks is so important? The show is hosted by his son Harrison, and it's fair to say the apple doesn't fall far from the tree because Harrison gives Brian a run for his money. Life of Brian is a Clubby Sports podcast, and it should be in your rotation. Illy XX.
Clubby Sports.
Yes, hello and welcome, tradies. Season 2, Episode 4. We are heading into Gather Round, where Mitch and all the other AFL media will be gathering in the state of South Australia. Welcome to you,
hello.
Mitch.
That sounds like you're not going.
I'm not going.
So you are now trying to take the piss out of us going over there, going over for 4 or 5 nights.
It sounds like me. It sounds like something I'd do. Just as soon as I'm not part of the bandwagon, just get off.
The tone would be different if you were.
Oh, yeah. Imagine if I was going.
So how come you're not heading over?
Well, I thought initially that I was because I didn't go last year.
Yeah.
But it turns out, you know, because part of my job with certain gigs is to be a fill-in for others.
Oh, okay.
So I'm Eddie on Wednesday.
Doing so you and I will be going head-to-head tomorrow night.
What's...
Talking footy.
Oh, sorry. Well, not really.
What do you mean?
Well, is it head-to-head?
On a similar time?
Different sort of...
A little bit different.
Audience levels, though.
A little bit different. Talking footy's doing very well in the ratings, actually.
It is funny, you know, like I was actually thinking about that because I was texting you last week when I was watching you.
Yeah.
Because you were on from the top. It's funny how, like, because you used to work for, obviously, Nine and we're doing Classified. And you did classified stuff as well as footy show, right?
Yeah. So I never actually worked for Nine. I worked for Croc Media.
Yeah, yeah, right, okay.
And then the part of the contract was I did footy classified on the Monday, and then I helped produce Damo's segment on the Thursday footy show.
Yeah, and I was doing the opposite. I was working on talking footy.
That's right. Now we're flipped.
Yeah, and now we're flipped. It is. And you always just like, of course the other show is worse. Of course. And then as soon as you switch, it's like, it's funny how your perspectives change.
So for those listening, Sam is sort of rolling a bushy type beard. You would have seen it in the AW clip that was shared over the weekend around Brisbane, which we'll get to. Damo has actually been having a sort of bit looser operation with his beard at the moment.
He looks unbelievable. He looks straight out of a Guy Ritchie film.
Real sharp. Are you getting the same luxury? Are you going to be able to roll with a beard on air?
No. I'll be clean shaven. I'm actually...
Is that out of choice?
No, I think it's an expectation. Not sure the red beard would go well on TV.
So Damo gets his own rules.
What? But he's got a... Like his is more of a salt and pepper George Clooney sort of setup.
How do you describe yours?
Sort of woodchopper kind of. I was actually thinking about going full like short hair too.
Oh.
But I think I'll leave it.
When's the last time you had short hair?
Oh, 2018.
Should we do it, the Brisbane stuff?
You do whatever you want.
So take us through the fallout from the weekend where you reported that some off-field stuff from Brisbane had been causing a bit of tension behind the scenes at the Lions. Take us through, firstly, the reporting of that and what has happened since.
Well, I didn't really think it would take off the way it did, to be honest. And I didn't write about it, and I didn't prosecute it as a story on my radio show. I simply did, I think it was, a 45-second clip on pregame on Good Friday, the day after the Lions went 0-3. And, you know, deliberately left names out, left details out, and just said, it's been put to me that, you know, that there has been some issues over the off-season that players and partners are still dealing with. I rang Brisbane about it, put it to them. They confirmed to me that it had happened, but they said that it wasn't having an impact. And then Lee Matthews, who I think is in a fairly strong position to be able to talk about it.
Yeah.
His first comment was, well, how would you know if it's having an impact? Mm. It's difficult to quantify, but it doesn't help.
So when you were told...
And that was it.
When you were told it wasn't having an impact, you were still steadfast in reporting it from there?
Yeah, because that's part of our job, is to delineate what you've been told, information from others, to what's been then put back to you.
Yeah.
On or off the record by the people that you're asking questions to.
Yeah.
I feel like as a human being, I am very quick to regret and very quick to judge myself. I don't have any regrets as to what I reported.
Yep.
I could have gone a lot harder and I could have been a lot more specific and decided not to. I don't take responsibility for what people report after that. People want to leak photos. People want to go into names. That's up to them. I don't take responsibility for that.
Before we go any further, I want to ask you a couple more. For context, I obviously looked into the story as well. I was told there was no issues off field. It was something that happened 6 months ago, and then it was purely a relationship thing with players and their partners, and it hadn't seeped into a group setting. So for me, I didn't report it. I watched the game Thursday night, Brisbane Collingwood, watching a couple of particular players to see, was there any tension? Was there any players avoiding each other on the field? And that's the thing. I'll never question other journo. And don't want you to think this is me questioning the story. I'm just taking our listeners through the process of how you got to that.
Yep.
What have you made of the blowback and the sort of suggestions around your reporting since?
I try not to listen to it, to be honest. Try being the operative word.
So you have?
Yep.
And the thought of them boycotting radio shows that was reported last night?
Radio
shows and Herald Sun.
It's just rubbish.
That hasn't been communicated to you, or you're not aware of that?
I've been in touch with senior people at Brisbane, and I know that's not the case.
Right.
So, yeah. I just want to I want to make one thing clear, and then I want to leave it, and let's talk about trade stuff. And I'll say the word I a lot here, because I don't want to act like I'm speaking on behalf of journalists, because everyone's different. I don't answer to Brisbane. I don't answer to the AFL.
Mm-hmm.
I don't answer to player managers. I don't answer to players. I only answer to listeners, viewers, readers.
Yep.
A comes first in the alphabet. Audience comes first. That's it. The day, and there will be a day, it might be soon, it might be later, the day that stops being my priority is the day I'll do something else. I don't ask for permission, and I don't seek validation. Just, we're not rocket scientists.
Yep.
The Good Friday appeal had, it was an amazing day on Friday. I actually went into the Epworth to see one of my mates who just had back surgery. The people in those four walls are actually changing the world. We're not.
Yeah.
We're reporting about off-season footy trips. I think everyone needs to just have some perspective. But I don't feel like I have to justify myself to anyone.
So, yeah, no, I'm not asking you to. I'm just purely asking you
because it's
become a thing over the weekend, and some people questioning the reporting of it. So
the beard was doing a lot though in that clip. That's when I realised, I was like, shave probably needs to happen.
Okay, I look forward to seeing that. Now, should we leave that there and move on to trade matters?
There's a couple of big stories that I think you're going to explode. It's going to be a big trade period. Here you go.
You want me to kick off?
I think I just spent the last 2 minutes talking. So.
Well, it's actually Brisbane related. Now, I want to stress this is not related to everything that was sort of been reported, nothing to do with the off-season trip. This player, Jared Berry, wasn't even on the trip. So, was best of my knowledge, he wasn't there. But he's going on my whiteboard because he's one of the 9 restricted free agents right now in the competition. It's probably snuck under the radar for a few people. Given he's restricted means he's in the top 25% paid at the Lions right now. And they will face a salary cap crunch sooner rather than later because of the stars they have to try and squeeze in.
They've got a lot of good
players, yep. Yeah, Hume Cluggage is going to be worth over $1 million in the open market. They've got stars on every line. And Jared Berry being at his age of 26 this year, he's going to take some squeezing in. Now, I've been told by multiple people he's a loyal guy and he's more likely to stay. But he's going on my whiteboard for a few factors. And that is, he's been used as an inside mid, he's been used as an outside mid. A lot of people would argue that he's better as an inside mid. He didn't attend one centre bounce on the weekend in the loss to Collingwood. He's been used on the fringes.
Getting towards air raid siren territory. Nah,
just explains the role.
Centre bounce statistics.
And then you've got Will Ashcroft still to come in from his ACL. Then his brother, Levi, who's eligible in this year's draft. I actually saw two quarters of the game on the weekend, Sandringham, Oakley.
Of course you did.
I just thought I'd...
Did you watch or did you go?
A bit of both.
You went...
I went. I was there.
Who'd you go
with? Moorabbin. Myself.
You didn't take Kate for a date at Moorabbin?
She was catching up with friends for lunch. It's good to catch up with a few player agents and just sort of mingle.
Oh, you were mingling.
Recruiters are always there.
Oh, I see. Bit of micro Mitch action.
Oh.
Was tradies brought up by anyone?
Probably. It's just so common now that tradies gets brought up. So.
That's a good point.
Anyway, his brother Levi is going to be a top five pick this year. 31 touches in the game on the weekend. Carbon copy of his brother. Well, not carbon. They're different players, but he's going to have to be a walk-in midfielder for that line side next year. Then you've still got Devin Robertson to come in. They've got Neil McCluggage, Bailey Dunkley, Jasper Fletcher on a wing. The reason I'm putting him on my whiteboard is, yes, he's loyal and every chance to stay, but there will be clubs trying to prize him out of the Lions, looking at their salary cap situation, offering him more than what the Lions will be able to offer, and also suggesting a role as an inside mid because of what the logjam of options they've got. Devin Robertson stayed loyal at the end of last year. He's got a two-year deal for this year and next. Knocked back a bigger offer from the Eagles to stay.
Good decision.
Yeah, but not playing regular footy at the moment.
Yeah, but not playing for West Coast is a good decision.
Do you want to play AFL every week or do you want to be in and out?
I just don't want to play for West Coast.
Okay. So that's my Jarrod Berry.
Nice. Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
How good a player is Jarrod Berry?
It's good. I would say he won a final for Brisbane against Melbourne when he shut Clayton Oliver out of the game a couple of years ago
as an inside mid. I agree with that. But comparative to his teammates?
No, there's a reason he's not playing regular centre bounce and at the.
So is he a good footballer without being a very good footballer?
Yeah.
Or is he a very good footballer that is being used out of position?
I'd say he's a good footballer.
Okay.
How would you rate?
Yeah, I'd be the same. Yep.
Yeah. Easily top 15, 20 players at every club in the comp.
So he gets a game for all 18 teams?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Okay. What's your whiteboard entry?
Liam Baker.
Oh, yes.
Been wanting to put him on the whiteboard for a couple of weeks. Adam Uzay said after the game, after coaching his first win in yellow and black, which was, by the way, great result for the Tigs, that we'll give him the world if he wants to stay. He's their vice captain, like McCluggage is at the Brisbane Lions. Mm-hmm. He's a utility that's been used in a variety of positions, and he's from Subiaco. So he's already had, when he signed as a 22-year-old, he signed a contract extension at Punt Road when they were flying. He had huge interest from both Fremantle and West Coast, and he's going to face the same thing now. He's just bought a $2.2 million waterside property in Perth, which of course gets all of our tongues wagging. Mitchell.
I was told it's an investment, but it's an expensive investment.
Imagine buying a $2.2 million property as an invest. I mean, you live in Middle Park, so you probably understand that. But
that's just regular freight for us. I'm a kid from Geelong renting an elephant.
Don't you try to play yourself down as a man of the people when you're living in Middle Park. That is at least I own being an insecure ticket. And interestingly, another layer to this is that Matt Clark, who a lot of our listeners may not know, who was national recruiting manager at Richmond when Baker was drafted, is now where, Mitch?
He's a list manager of the West Coast Eagles.
And these are the sort of things that, as we've said on this pod, episode after episode, they may not have a huge impact, but they have a little impact because he's got a pre-existing relationship. Now, if 2 years ago you had said that a Richmond star was going to leave to go play for West Coast, you would have thought, come on, why would he do that? Things have changed since Damien Hardwick has left, that there's been a silent admission internally at Punt Road that they're going to have to go back to go forward. But at the same time, and I want to use Baker as a bit of a Trojan horse into West Coast, even if he's from there, and like obviously Fremantle will be in play in some way, shape or form, how could you go to West Coast right now with everything that's happening, with everything that's still to happen?
What I would say to that is he's got two flags.
And, so he doesn't want any more?
Well, players always want flags, but it's not like he's got that carrot of, you know, needing success. He's already had it. So whether it's 1% or 10%, who knows? You can't put a figure on that, but he's had that. And the Eagles' offer is going to be much more than what Richmond are offered. It's just the way it is given their salary cap situation.
Okay, so that leads me perfectly into my next question.
Just on Baker, I just want to point out, if he stays at Richmond, he'll be the next captain.
Yeah, well, okay.
So there's the success element, but there's also the prospect of leadership and being the captain of your foot. There's only 18 captains or a few more co-captains, but...
And no disrespect to Oscar Allen or Liam Duggan. If Liam Baker went to West Coast, he'd probably beat their next captain.
Oscar Allen's a long-term play, but yeah.
But Baker would almost immediately be their best player.
What, it'd be Chris Judd. He'd just walk in and be captain.
Hmm. How good a player is Liam Baker?
He's a star. I love him.
He's a star.
Yep.
Okay, what's his best position?
Personally, this is air raid siren stuff because I'm a footy journalist, not a ex-player who sees this.
You're also a secret enough, though.
I am enough. I think his best position is a mopping up halfback who can distribute same. And be one of the elite ground ball players in the competition. He's the best player below his knees in the comp.
I'm sorry, say that again?
He's the best player below his knees in the comp, probably.
Nick Dacos says hello.
Nah, he's good.
He's the best player below his knees in the comp.
Yeah. Lockie Neal and...
Marcus Bontempelli says hello. Sam Walsh. Lockie Neal.
Lockie Neal and Nick Dacos are probably on the podium with him.
Right. You just put this one together quickly.
That was just off
the
top, mate.
This is usually the trap that I fall into, making bold statements that I can't back up.
I watch a lot of Liam Baker play. I think he's a star. Mm. Where do you rate him?
I think he's a very good player.
What's he worth on the open market? And I must stress, he's
what's Ben McKay getting again?
He's 1 year away from free agency, Liam Baker. So he's actually a trade target this year, not a free agency option.
So is free agents the one that you don't have to trade for? Yes. Can you explain that to me? Can I please have the texter?
Yeah.
Thank you.
What's he worth?
900.
Yeah, in the new landscape, I was going to say 850 to 900.
He's probably not a million-dollar player. Million-dollar halfback flank is...
Is he in the best 60 players in the comp in the next 2 or 3 years? Because the next... This is my new line.
You love this line.
Well, $1 million hits home to people.
Mm.
There's going to be 60 million-dollar players in the comp in 2 or 3 years.
So you have to be the best... So average out best three players in your team, just say.
Yeah. He's in the best three at Richmond.
He's in the best three at Richmond, yeah. Mm. So in answer to that, yeah. So he's probably high nines.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would Richmond pay him that to stay?
Adam Ouzé, as you said give him the world. And they've got a lot of money coming out. Dusty's coming off.
Yeah, Dusty's coming
only
off.
Got a year or two.
Lynch.
Hopper and Toronto, they've tied up, but they got tenure over massive cash. Mm. Grimes comes off.
Hopper and Toronto cash is not really an issue at Richmond. It's more what they gave up as far as draft.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Yeah, it's not like they're... I don't think they're on $1 million.
No, they're on mid-eights. So... Mm.
Shea Bolton.
Hey, just before we get off the whiteboard, have you got any more for the whiteboard?
No.
Do you think Richmond's win against Sydney, did it change your medium to long-term view on them at all?
Not really.
No, neither. It was a good win. Like, it was a win that they needed.
Yeah.
And it was great to see Adam Ouzé celebrate like that.
Mm.
But Sydney were off, and with the players leaving the Tigers versus, they haven't. It's not as though they've got six kids under 22 that are helping fans buy tickets.
And the injuries are going to
Gibkiss really hurts.
Yeah, and the Lynch and Bolter, West Coast.
Hmm.
Priority pick. It's come up.
I think my heart just stopped. For half a second.
It is laughable. They won a flag in 2018. They were percentage away from top four in 2019 and 2020. That was 4 years ago. And now we're talking about priority picks.
I feel like Wayne Carey here. I feel like saying, if West Coast get a priority pick, I will not watch nothing. yeah, they couldn't be given one.
Yeah, they're pretty crap. Their percentage is like in the 40s at the moment.
Have you seen a worse team than them since you've been watching footy? Melbourne and Carlton were pretty bad.
Yeah, and the Giants, like, North, do you put been, the first year
nah,
of the Giants
in? Nah, you don't count them. North have been pretty bad.
Melbourne, like, I'm just picturing them with, like, that V and, like, the white jumper they used to wear at the G, and, like, they used to just get hammered. But I can't remember many teams rocking up like West Coast do and just being no chance to win.
What kind of deal do you think they're putting together for Harley Reid at the end of the year?
Yeah. So under the new rules, you can't sign for the first 6 months as
yeah, a... I know. Hence why I said the end of the year.
Yeah. I'm just thank you're you, more educated. Yeah.
What kind of, like, I'm not even trying to be a smart ass here. Like, are they, is it a 10-year, $18 million deal? Because we're not far away from the first $2 million player.
Yeah, we're not.
And West Coast, like, money's not going to be that much of an issue for them as far as, like, they're going to have to pay someone. All their good players who are at the back end of their contracts will be off the list in the next 2 years. So how are they not offering him that sort of deal? And my second question to that is, there's no way anyone could be advising him to sign that deal.
I keep going back to this point. West Coast is, they're so bad on field at the moment, but they are a juggernaut as of a footy club.
Yeah, you keep saying this. I'm not really sure why it's relevant.
But like, because it's not like, it's going to turn at some point.
But it's not going to turn because they're wealthy.
But there's,
that's the whole point of equalisation.
Like, players go there because you get the networking opportunities. You get like life after footy. There's more that goes, like, you know, you get to play in front of, I haven't done the numbers, but they're still getting 45,000 people at their games, and they're the worst team we're saying you and I may have seen in our lives.
Yeah, but they'll drop off in, that's the start of the year, the sun's still out. They'll drop off in winter.
They've got a waiting list for their membership.
I'm saying
it's not like it's one of the smaller Melbourne based clubs. It's West Coast.
I'm deeply concerned about West Coast.
I am too, on deeply. Field. But in terms of, like, the footy club's not going anywhere.
No, but they're going to have a new coach in the next couple of years.
Yeah, it's hard to argue against that.
Yeah, and all their good players are old and leaving.
The Tim Kelly trade, 3 first rounders essentially.
But you know what, though? Like, maybe we're spending too much time on West Coast. Far be it for me to criticise that deal at the time. So easy for me to go back and be like, oh, that's a shit deal. Like, they were trying to win another flag.
I don't think many people really did criticise it. You know, and he was a star for Geelong.
Yeah, they had a crack. They got him back home. He's a good player. He's a very good player. It's more net. It's from the draft of last year, that is when I started having an issue with them.
Around
they
the Harley
had
pick?
So many opportunities to get rid of Yeo, to get 2 top 10 picks for Barass, to actually orchestrate what North did, and that is get 5 kids in the first 20 picks. Instead, they got 1 inside 30.
And everything I just spoke about.
And then at the end of the year, they're going to put their hand out to the AFL for a priority pick. I mean, give me a spell.
But will they, though? Like, or is that just us talking? And they're in the luxury.
Well, Mark Duffield wrote the column for the West, and he's
for Code.
He's very senior. He's been around for a long, long time. Yeah. So if he's writing it,
he's very connected in WA.
I would think that someone has told him.
And they've got the luxury of being able to be crap for a few years because the club's so well set up.
Yeah, well. Be fun being a West Coast supporter the next few years. Hey everyone, hope you're enjoying the pod. We're just going to take a little break to talk about a couple of things. One is that the air raid siren is flying, Mitch.
Yeah. I'm getting as much feedback on the air raid siren as I am in the main pod at the moment.
And what do we do there, Mitch?
We talk about everything that we want to talk about on this podcast that we're not allowed to because it's not trade related. So
it's
that's
football related.
It's sort of, it branches off into some interesting areas.
Yep. You and I pick one football issue each and have our own little say. And the other thing is, make sure you get your voice messages in to Instagram. And the prize has been revealed.
What is it?
It is a brand new Callaway Paradigm AI smoke driver.
Woo!
These things are unbelievable. I just got mine, by the way.
Jeez, and you're saying one of our listeners will be able to...
Every 4 weeks.
That is very generous from the team at Callaway.
Now back to the pod. Now it's time for... Nuts and Bolts.
Bit of a different Nuts and Bolts this week.
Yeah, you haven't told me which player you were doing.
It's 3 clubs all worked into one Nuts and Bolts.
Wow, hang on.
bit of current list, bit of future list, all in this. I'm just taking a bit of a different lens. Now, we just spoke about how crap West Coast are going. They've got their own issues, but I want to identify three Victorian clubs and how their key position stocks are in real dire straits heading into the next couple of years. North Melbourne, Richmond, and Hawthorn. Now, I'm just going to work through each of the three clubs briefly, and then I'm going to talk about some of the targets that they can look for, because Jamara's off the table. We know he's most likely going to stay at the Bulldogs now. Sam Taylor won't be moving to Victoria. So the real high-end, you know, players, key position.
The blue chippers.
Blue chippers, as you rightly put, aren't really gettable at the moment. So I think we need to look at some other options that may need to turn their heads. All right, I want to start with North forward line. Nick Larkey obviously is the jewel in the crown. Coleman Jones, Achilles on the weekend. We love Charlie Combin. He's making his way back from injury, and they've gone with Tyler Sellers out of the VFL. They need another key forward alongside Nick Larkey. I think everyone would agree with that. Down back, they lost Ben McKay. They'll get Griffin Logue back shortly from their ACL. But on the weekend, Pink, Dawson were battling out of their weight division. Core as well. They're not there to play on King, Danaher, Hawkins and these guys. Biggie Nguyen was worth a look as a backup option, but he's not pushing for selection right at the moment. They've got cap room, given what happened with Taran Thomas. But they traded both their picks they had for this year's draft in 2024 away at the end of last year. So it's not like they're flushed for picks, but they are flushed for cap room. So free agents could be an option for North Melbourne in the next 12 months. And when we think of them, we think maybe they are flushed for picks, but right now they're not, because they actually traded them away last year to get further into the draft last year, as we saw. They took McKercher and Dersma.
McKercher looks good.
He does. Richmond. Tom Lynch is going to expose a lot. The injury is out for 3 months. We're going to learn a lot about their key forwards in the next few months. Noah Bolt is also out. It's time for Jacob Kaczynski to show why Richmond threw him a bone at the end of last year and signed him. Samson Ryan looks like he's on the right trajectory, but is he going to be a high-end player? Is he not? I think we'll learn more in the next few months.
Marby will be handy.
He would be. And then Liam Fawcett's a young kid they took a pick in the 40s. Still a lot to play out on there. In defence, they've got a bit more. Tyler Young looks like a nice find as a lockdown defender. Josh Gibbs' knee is going to hurt them in the short term, but still think he's going to be a player. Top 10 pick. They don't grow on trees. Ben Miller's a pretty handy backup at the moment. Dylan Grimes will retire pretty soon. And then Vlossen and Broad are great third tall options, but they're 30 and 31. So I think the Tigers are also going to need a bit of replenishing in their key position stocks. They went hard at Jamara. They're most likely, you know, going to miss out on that one. And this year, they're finally going to get a look at the top end of the draft after what happened with Hopper and Taranto in the last couple of years. Hawthorn, they've been crying out for a key back. They went after Radaglia, missed. They threw the kitchen sink at Ben McKay, missed. It shows they're after a high-end key back. James Blank's ACL came at a horrible time. He just signed a two-year deal. He's a nice sort of, you know, lockdown defender, but he's, you know, out of box heel. I don't think he's going to be a real high-end. He's not going to be in Sam Taylor, Harris Andrews conversation as all Australian contenders.
Harry Taylor was also a good player.
He was. I saw him in the rooms last night, actually, for Tom Hawkins' 350.
Did he say hello to you?
He did. Yeah. He's now a player manager, Harry Taylor.
Is he?
He is, yeah.
Are you just in your element in the Geelong rooms? Like, is that your happy place?
I saw...
Does everyone come up to you? Hey, Mitch. Good to see you, mate. Back home where you belong.
I saw Ablett, Stevie J.
Did they all talk to you?
Pods. I swear to most of them. That's like 14-year-old Nuff me, like, dream, right?
So now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where were we? On the Hawks. Granger Brass clearly hasn't come on. Sicily's playing above his height. And Sam Frost is 31 in August. They need key backs. They've got Will McCabe, who was actually a top 20 pick last year, 19-year-old father-son, 197 centimetres. There's high hopes for him, but still so early to judge.
Granger Brass hurts.
He does.
Top five pick. Yeah. Or top 10 pick, whatever he was.
Yeah. They've tried him forward. He's got the foot injury at the moment. You know, Nuff me would suggest, this is Micro Mitch areas, his under-18 highlights was all, like, he was, like, Aaron, I still remember Aaron Francis's under-18s and Denver Granger Brass. They were plucking everything in defence.
Yeah. I feel like Granger Brass and Jared Brander, very similar players.
There's a name I haven't heard for a while.
Both top 10 picks.
Imagine peak Brander at the Eagles right now. Like, as in...
We never saw peak Brander, though. Under-18 Brander. Yeah,
yeah, or like yeah. Fulfill the potential of a top 15 pick.
Yeah, a lot of these kids that come through that are big and athletic and play both ends struggle to translate that into senior footy. I'm not sure why that is.
And then in attack, Mitch Lewis is obviously their key piece. Marby Ochoa's hot and cold. He showed some good signs yesterday at the G.
He was pretty good at the G.
He was.
In the wet.
But there's other games where you don't see him.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Jack Gunson comes back in. That's only a 12 to 18 month play. That's clearly not going to help them in the future. They traded away Brandon Ryan, 26-year-old to Brisbane. He's been battling a bit of an injury, I'm told. But, geez, that'd be – that could – if he comes on to become a player, now he's not going to walk in ahead of Hipwood and Danaher, but if he comes a player at the Lions, that could be one that the Hawks come to rue. And then Max Ramsden is a project player. I think he was in the squad on the weekend, showing glimpses, but still so early. Now, these are the players we want to talk about. Defenders that these clubs, these Victorian clubs, can go after. Mac, I've got five, then a couple of nominees. Mac Andrew, contracted to 2025, not getting a game at Gold Coast at the moment. I think he's well and truly in line to play this week.
Wasn't he supposed to be like the next big thing?
Yeah, but he's only 3 years in. Mm. Bean Pole, going to take a bit of time to fill out. But of those key defenders, obviously we're talking about Taylor, these guys, they're not attainable in this area. So Mac Andrew, given he's got this year and one more to run on his contract, is one that I'm sure clubs will be getting in the ear of right now. Sam DeConing, number two. Hard to see him leaving Geelong. He's contracted to 2025. Jack Henry at Geelong is a free agent right now. He plays above his height. He's 191. He does take big scalps.
I like
his
him.
Brother's there at the Cats.
Yep.
If Ben Mackay's worth 800, is Jack Henry and the new CBA worth around the same?
Yep.
Maybe.
Yep.
Interesting footnote to that. His manager, Anthony McConville, used to manage Andrew Mackie, who's the list manager at the Cats. So you've got a player who used to be managed by an agent, now going head-to-head on that deal. It's just a little micro Mitch for you there.
I like your footnotes.
Josh Battle, free agent right now at the Saints.
What's happened to Josh Battle?
What do you mean?
Is he the player we thought he was going to turn out a bit?
Oh, I reckon he's going pretty well.
Yeah, no, so do I. But
yeah, he was drafted as a forward, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
This is Ross Lyon speaking on Fox Footy pregame to Jason Dunstall about Josh Battle.
I reckon you've got a few players that fly under the radar as well. We talk about the stars of the game so regularly. You've got a couple by the name of Marcus Windhager and I reckon Josh Battle are really good role players at St Kilda.
Yeah, I think Battle's got a bit of recognition. He's out of contract, so maybe even your Hawks looking at him.
but I'm very close
to him. Big roll off, big athlete.
Yeah.
Very rare you hear a senior coach put on the record another club's interest.
Jeez, I love Ross.
He's great, isn't he?
So good for footy.
What do you make of that?
Yeah, well, he'd be great at the Hawks.
Yeah.
Saints have got lots of cash, so I don't think they'll lose any players that they don't want to.
Yeah.
Because they've sort of gone through that now.
And he fits nicely in that Wilkie and then it's Howard or Cordy.
And they were happy to let the blokes go that they thought they could do without.
Yeah.
Gresham, Billings, Caulfield.
Foot soldiers, Ross described those for you guys on the weekend as.
Yep.
And then there's a couple of other guys, Josh Worrell and Nick Murray at the Hawks, pair of 24-year-olds. Now, they're not – well, Nick Murray's injured, but Worrell's got a lot to learn, still working his way through. But both Victorian roots, could they be enticed back? These are the sort of guys that clubs will be looking at. A couple of other quick names. Lecolier, first-round pick a few years ago. He's from SA. He signed at 2025. But the Giants have Taylor, Iden, Buckley, Himmelberg. Could a player like that be prized out? Nick Cox, out of contract this year at the Bombers. Could he need a new environment? Lewis Young at the Blues, 26 in December. You know, it looks like they're going with Wiedering, Marchbank, McGovern ahead of him.
Yeah.
Does he fall out? Again, not a superstar, but... and the other one is Jake Colajasny, free agent. Does he sign for 3 years to Tassie? Let's see.
Didn't Phil Davis say that Lecolier was like one of the most talented people he's ever seen come through the Giants?
Got some decent players to push past in that back line if he's to get a game.
Yeah.
And the forwards aren't as probably top end. Harrison Jones out of contract 2024. I loved his first years at the Bombers. He's been injury plagued since. Jake Riccardi, still only 24 years of age. There's a reason why Port locked in Ollie Lord till 2026. Cooper Sharman shows glimpses at the Saints. And then Matt Tabernacle, we were talking off air. You know, could he be a stopgap for a couple of years? So they're just, I just wanted to, yeah, the couple of games on the weekend made me look at some of those key positions, stocks.
No, I like
clubs,
it. The left clubs field need nuts and bolts.
Clubs need some work in that area. Not that they need me telling them that, but, there are some holes in those clubs.
Key position, stocks, nuts and bolts.
Yes.
Okay, let's get to Just Quickly.
Now, just quickly, just quickly, just quickly, just quickly, just quickly.
Okay, Just Quickly, episode 4. So this means that, how many have we got today, Sam? We've only got one.
Must be good.
So clearly they have high standards in production about what they put through. So we had 3 each in the first 3 weeks, now 1. So 10, am I math right? 3 times 3 is 9, plus 1.
Yep, yes, so you got a 1 in 10 chance of winning an AI smoke driver.
Yep, and we'll draw that out of a hat, literally, in episode 5.
You've been wearing a different colourway hat every week.
Mm.
You're going yellow today.
What do you think?
Yellow,
not my colour?
Maybe. Well, I'll judge it after the beard's gone.
This is a Travis hoodie as well.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, very comfortable.
I'll see what the beard does for the yellow hat after this.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to wear a different Callaway hat every week.
Well, for all 30-odd weeks of
this. I'm going to wear 30 different Callaway hats. So just a side note for the people at Callaway, I need a few more hats. Okay. The voice message today is from Philip.
G'day, boys. Love the pod. Just quickly, with the changes in the trading market, such as a third year for first rounders, the salary cap increase and Tasmania on the horizon, what can we expect the impact to be on the value of first rounders in the coming years for certain clubs? Cheers.
So he's asking, what will the value of first round picks rise in the next few years? Mm. That's a very good question. And I would say, without doing too much work on it, yes.
Why?
Because clubs need top-end talent before Tassie comes in and just...
Raids,
that was the word I was looking for. Yeah.
Tassie definitely happening?
Oh, Jesus.
No, I'm being... We still don't have a start date.
No, it's happening.
Okay.
I believe so. I'm dubious on 2028 being the year because, as I've said a few times...
All I'm saying is that we're midway through 2024. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
And clubs need to be prepared. And the clubs that I speak to are pretty shitty that they still don't have an answer.
Mm.
So I'd like to, you know, can we get a camera down at Salamanca and put like...
We did. We had a camera down there a few weeks ago for 7 News.
Yeah.
There's no movement. They haven't even decided on a plan yet.
Oh, for God's sake.
There's 2 different options being canvassed. You can't build a stadium in 4 years. And everyone that I've spoken to says it's going to be detrimental to the team if they're not in the stadium for any less than 12 months.
This is what I want. One of our tradie listeners who is connected to trades or construction, I want an overs, unders, for once the plan is confirmed.
Once the first sod is turned?
Once the first bit of cement goes up.
Right.
How long from that date until a billion-dollar stadium gets built? It can't be any less than 5 years.
No, and it's an island down there.
I was just going to say, with the greatest respect to the beautiful people of Tasmania, it's a bit further away.
Yeah.
So they have to get everything in.
Mm. Spirit of Tassie will be busy shipping everything in.
Mm.
I'm aware that they use other forms of transport.
That's a very nasty thing to say.
What do you
Not
mean?
Everything goes to slow boat down to Tassie.
That's a big nasty. Fan of the Spirit of Tassie.
There's no way that happens in less than 5 years. That's all I'm saying.
Sam, who's just stepped in, a bit more hands-on than Scotty would say during the show.
Yeah, Scotty's over gallivanting and gather around.
Yeah. Look forward to seeing him over there.
Yeah, me too.
Said that Docklands took 2 years to build.
No.
And it's twice the size.
It did not. It didn't take 2 years. Yeah,
2 years,
$450. Two years at $450 million.
Now, inflation's sort of a bit different
I'm
now.
Calling score review on that. Also, they built the joint the wrong way around, so you can't really. If we're using Marvelous,
it was quick though.
Yeah, because Geez, Marvel's bad.
I don't mind it as a viewing experience.
Nah, it's horrible.
You're close to the action.
It's awful.
I don't know if that came through.
Yeah, I really hope it did. Sam just not happy with the bottom level.
He's grumpy about North Melbourne, in fairness. This might be more air raid, sorry, but the grass at Marvel's like a country footy. It's a real thick, sort of something you would see
you can't
out of
grow grass on top of cement.
It's been all right the last few years.
It has not been.
Pink's concert's hurt it a bit this year, but the grass is like a real thick,
Pink playing for North the back. On the weekend hurt it too. He struggled. I felt for Tony Pink. He's playing on 2 of the best forwards of the last 25 years.
That was part of the reason the nuts and bolts came about today.
Yeah, well done. I thought nuts and bolts was very strong today. Anything else you'd like to tell our listeners So if you,
I just need some voicemail. What do I need to do? I'm in Adelaide for 4 days. What the listeners hopefully can point me in the right direction.
Are you asking for free stuff from
No, I'm asking for suggestions.
Mitch is asking for, Mitch hopes a few people slide into his DMs.
No.
Make sure you come to my pub. We'll look after you.
At Tradies Podcast is the correct Instagram to find. Actually.
Where are you staying?
In the city.
Which hotel?
I have not checked that yet.
Is it the Intercontinental?
I don't believe so.
Oh.
That's a good place.
Yeah, it's where we used to stay when AW sent us, when I was doing Saturday Night Stats.
You used to travel for that.
Yeah. Also, can we just talk, can we have this tough conversation before you go? Saturday Scoop needs to change its name. I really like you and Abby. You're a great 1-2 punch.
I was getting some nice texts from you, actually.
I like that, you know, you go through all the games, but there's no scoop. It's actually
it's a
just
a few little nuggets here and there.
No, there's not.
Yeah. It's injury just, bits and
they're not scoops.
MRO.
No. That's, you're going over what has happened. Didn't you used to do the round so far with Kane?
Yes.
On AFL.com?
Yes.
Great product. Mm. Same thing.
Yeah.
You can't call it scoop.
That was a bit different. That was more game analysis. This is more a bit newsier, more little tidbits.
Who do we need to, like, is it, who do we need to reach out to? Is it Gary O'Keefe, the boss of 7Footy?
Yeah, I think it's, I think
like
it more
to start
than, I think it more than stacks up as a name.
Petition. Saturday Scoop needs to change.
That's
its name.
A one man band you're on there because I think it's working.
Can we just call it Saturday Mitch?
No.
Or Saturday Mitch and Abby?
No.
It should just be called Amy. It should just be called Mitch and Abby.
Maybe you can start that little petition of yours and see how that goes.
Don't get flustered. Oh my God, you got your tail up. Okay, well, if you see Mitch, please send through photos. We want lots of photos of Mitch out and about gathering. I'll be here, you know, grinding, filling in for people.
Oh yeah,
searching for stories.
Do you go to the barber for your beard cut, or is it a home job?
I'm actually going to buy a new razor tomorrow.
So for this exact purpose.
Yes.
Jeez, this is have we got time?
We literally make
it. I don't grow my beard out that thick. Is it? Do you do it in one thing, or does it take a few goes once it gets that thick?
Have you ever seen The Fugitive with Harrison Ford? Please tell
I reckon
me
I have. I'm horrible at remembering shit in movies.
The original Fugitive.
I reckon I have.
Tommy Lee Jones searching for Harrison Ford, who's
maybe
went
I should
to
watch
prison
on the
for
plane.
Murdering his wife. That he said it was. Yep.
I've got an hour in the plane to Adelaide. I'll watch it there and back.
Anyway, when he escapes, he's obviously got like a full beard,
right?
Like thicker than mine, and it's so thick that when he goes to he first uses scissors, like kitchen scissors. So I'll probably have to do that.
Okay, look forward to it.
Thank you. Okay, that does us for season 2, episode 4. Tradies brought to you by Callaway. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening to another podcast from Producers Clubby Sports Network. If you enjoyed the show, then it would be a massive help if you could like, follow, rate, subscribe, tap the bell, leave a review, or even share with your friends. If you want to get in touch to share feedback, suggestions, or advertise with one of our podcasts, then email hello@producy.com.